to the Ask Beatie Show. And the Beatles are certainly not alone, my friends. These days, we are all going through so many ups and downs in our lives. You think about it, who would have thought? It was only a few weeks ago. Just think, we woke up in the morning, we went to work for those of us that were lucky enough to have jobs. We kissed our children goodbye on their way to school or daycare. Our older children were in college and we weren't worrying about them too much. We socialized with friends. We went to the gym. We ate out in restaurants. We had our hair colored. And I have to tell you, as superficial as this might sound, that is exactly what I did this morning. So much wanting to get into a routine. And actually, it turned out pretty well. We went to the grocery store. We attended Broadway shows and movies and went to museums and visited with family, all without any concern at all. When you just think about it, about a looming crisis that would affect our lives and the lives of others in inconceivable ways that we never dreamed of. And just think how quickly and dramatically life has changed. When I think about patients calling me, I mean, typically people will call me if they're going through depression, they have old family of origin issues, early child sexual abuse, abuse of any kind, sexual problems, relationship problems. And I'm doing all of my psychotherapy now, excuse me, on Skype and on Zoom, and I would say that nobody is talking about their relationship issues or their sexual problems or their lack of desire, which of course is totally understandable, given today's circumstances. In fact, the conversations are about unemployment and unemployment and insurance. And will my unemployment insurance, or will the money that perhaps I have saved over the last number of months and years, is there going to be enough money to cover my expenses, my rent, my food? Will I lose my business? And of course, this is over and above people's concerns about their relationships. I hear that people are very, very worried about health care. Will their benefits cover a crisis? The political situation, even though we hear our president, and I always say he's not my president, but we hear President Trump, talking at his various different meetings in the evenings about the coronavirus, update. The political situation and the upcoming election, I mean, that is something also that has taken a backseat to everything that is going on. So if you're feeling anxious and depressed, please understand that these are absolutely normal feelings. But I wrote an article, and I want all of us to realize the things that we actually can do as compared to the things that we have very, very little control over in our lives. And the tips that I have put together are things that I am also trying to do on a daily basis, because it really, really will make your life so much easier and less stressful. Today I'm doing the Ask Beatie Show from our apartment here in New York City on the Upper West Side. And I was feeling anxious, not about doing the show, but I was just feeling a little bit out of sorts. So I decided to take Cha-Cha, our dog, in the park, and I was wearing gloves, and there were very few people walking around Riverside Park. And I walked about 2 miles, and I came back just feeling invigorated and less anxious, and of course, very, very eager to do the show. and talk with you. And by the way, for those of you who are listening, and I encourage all of you to call in. The call-in number is 888-874-4888. And we also have a voicemail number so that if you have questions, if you have comments, if you go to the Progressive Radio Network archives and you listen to the shows, in fact, today, and I can hardly believe it, is the 295th FBD show that I have done here on the Progressive Radio Network. So there is a voicemail number that you can leave me voicemails, and that number is 862-800-6805. So don't be shy. So here are some tips that I really do hope that you will take in and that you will incorporate into your life as I have done. And they really do make life a bit easier. The first thing, and I really, really strongly suggest that we do not express our feelings of upset and worry and depression and anger and sadness. And that you can find a support group online. There's so many of them right now where you can feel comfortable to honestly express your feelings of worry and depression and sadness and anger. And just understand that these feelings are normal. So give yourself permission to be authentic with yourself and others. And what I found in the last couple of weeks, people that I know, they're having these online parties and cocktail hours, even though I don't drink, so that people are wanting more and more to feel connected and to be connected. So these may not be your cup of tea, but it's certainly, certainly worthwhile to give it a try. And you may find some new friends online, and at least it may be something, especially if you're living alone, to help you feel less lonely and less disconnected from life. The other thing that I have tried to do and that I'm actually doing every single day, it's not that I'm just giving out advice that I don't incorporate into my own life, and that is to try and create a daily routine to help you normalize your life. Now, for example, in my particular situation, I found that getting dressed in the morning, doing my makeup and hair, even though I am going nowhere, eating breakfast, taking my daily vitamins and supplements and exercising. I was telling a friend a couple of days ago that these days I am exercising twice a day because for me it really does help to alleviate the tension and the stress and the worry and the anxiety that I have my weights, my free weights in my office, and I actually go to the computer and I put on some uplifting music, and I'm able to work out, and I always, as you will do, feel better after moving around and doing a little bit of exercising. So see, we don't need to go to the gym to be in shape, but really taking a walk. For example, today, it's such a beautiful, beautiful day here in New York. And I wore my gloves, and of course, I kept my 6 feet social distance, but it was great. It was great to go out and see the blue sky and see the sun and the foliage that is blooming. And it really did help to improve my mood, as I know it will help to improve your mood as well. Beware, and that's the thing that we really do need to remind ourselves about, of the things that we can actually do to keep ourselves relatively sane and safe. And again, of course, the washing of our hands multiple times a day and maintaining the 6-foot social distance recommendation when we go out to grocery stores, etc. And also, of course, as Dr. Gary, now he reminds us of this every single day, we want to keep in mind the importance of eating healthily, since we need to keep our immune systems really strong. And please, please keep a check on how much sugar and alcohol you are consuming. A patient of mine who called a couple of days ago, she was really aware that instead of having a glass of wine, that she was starting to consume a bottle of wine every single evening. So at least she was aware of it. And we were talking about how it was destructive and self-destructive. And hopefully, if she feels that she needs to have that glass of wine, a glass of wine every night, that she's going to be able to do what is in her best interest and not drink too much. And, of course, the exercising and the exercising, and I've been saying this for years and years, is that it is so important. It is so important for us physically and emotionally and psychologically and mentally. And what I have actually found online, and I've never been an online computer techie type person, but there are some terrific, terrific video workouts. So you should really check them out. And it can be fun. And at least the instructor on the screen is there so that you're not going to feel so solitary and so alone when you are working out. Another really important recommendation is to get sufficient sleep. And I know myself, my sleep has been really iffy. I'm trying to stick to a really good schedule and not go to bed too late. But last night, it was not a good night, and I'm not exactly sure why. Perhaps, you know, when I think about it in retrospect, later than I probably should have, I was watching television and I was listening to some of the current, government updates about the coronavirus. I think that was probably, in my case, not the best thing to do. I mean, obviously, we need to know what's going on, but it is not healthy. It is not healthy to be gluing yourself to the television or computer 24 hours a day. I mean, I think the best that we should be doing is checking in for updates a few times a day. Otherwise, we can really make ourselves crazy. And for those of us who are at home with partners, with spouses, with children, we really need to find a way to respect each other's boundaries. Since we are spending a lot of time at home together, and I think that we need to communicate. And if you're needing space, please give yourself permission to say to people who you love, listen, I need to be in this room alone. I don't want to talk. I don't want to share. I don't want to communicate. And hopefully the people who you're with, that they will respect your feelings as you will hopefully be respecting their feelings as well. And, I mentioned this before, but just taking a walk around the block, for me today, it made all the difference in the world. The tension was gone. I took the elevator in our apartment building down. Of course, there was nobody in the elevator. In fact, there is rarely ever anybody anywhere in the building where we live. And it was just nice to walk the dog and look around and think about some other things other than the current situation. And many people also find meditation to be soothing. So if you have never tried it, there are also many, many online videos that can help you get started. And also, if meditation is not for you, that is okay too. So as you're listening to all of these helpful tips, which I know will make your life a lot easier and stressful, if you're still finding quite seriously that you're still feeling very, very depressed and anxious, I was talking to a patient of mine just yesterday who said that she was feeling very, very suicidal. And what I had suggested is that even though we typically have hour or 2 hour sessions every single week, that even calling in every day for 10 or 15 minutes, if that is what is going to be helpful, that is something certainly that I encourage my own patients to do as well. So that if you're finding that all of the tips are really not doing it for you, that they're not really helpful, that you're still feeling so desperate, so badly, so depressed, so anxious, I really do hope that you are going to give yourself permission and reach out and ask for professional help with all of your best efforts. You know, despite everything that you've tried to do, that your life continues to feel out of control. It is not a weakness. It is a real strength to realize that we, you know, we need help. And whether or not we're talking about legal help or financial help, and if we need psychological help as well, it does not mean that you're going to be in therapy or in counseling for years and years. And sometimes, you know, just getting a second perspective on your issues and your problems and getting a new kind of clarity can really, really make all the difference in the world. And I encourage you, you can call me, we can, you know, work out different kinds of arrangements if you are interested in working with me. And of course, all of my contact information is on my bdcone.com website. Well, we are going to move on to another subject right now, and I am so, so happy to have a guest today, a terrific guest. Lindsay Resecas is the New York Times best-selling author of The Plan, and it is an absolute terrific book that I definitely suggest that you all read. Lynn's work has been featured on the Dr. Oz Show, in the Huffington Post, and on Fox News. Lynn has been a holistic nutritionist for more than 30 years, studying nutritional therapy, holistic medicine, herbology, homeopathy, yoga, and all kinds of other really important health issues and subjects that are very, very beneficial for all of us. Because I think that there's a lot of confusion here, whether we should have low fat or high fat or low carbs or high carbs or sugar or no sugar or alcohol or no alcohol. And frankly, I am tired of being conned and lied to. When I met Lynn and when I read her book, The Plan, it gave me a new perspective that I really wanted to share with you. So, Lynn, welcome to the Ask Beanie Show.
Friend, we really have become friends. This is really wonderful. And thank you for the work that you do. You're helping so many people.
Well, how are you doing, by the way?
Well, you know, things are interesting for all of us during these times. I'm really excited that, you know, now more than ever, the topic of inflammation, especially when we're talking about COVID and everything that's going on, inflammation has always been the basis of every single disorder. And when you can lower inflammation, you're not only at your best weight, but you're at your best health and your best mood. So our work is really so much alike. It's giving people the tools to find answers to the questions that they have. Why aren't I feeling well?
Right. So let me ask you this. I mean, there has been a lot of talk and a lot of writings over the years about inflammation, and I think that most of us really don't know a lot about it and could very well be eating foods that are really exacerbating our problems rather than helping them. And I know that on the cover, on the back cover of your book, there was a quote, oatmeal, salmon, Greek yogurt, think of these foods are helping you lose weight. Well, think again. So what are the foods, what should we be doing to decrease the inflammation in our bodies?
Well, first of all, before I came out with my book, the prevailing theory was that obesity caused inflammation. But what I found from my work is that every person is eating at least three, quote-unquote, healthy foods that are causing inflammation. And what chronic low-grade inflammation can do is hasten the aging process, make you put on weight, even cause obesity, and really cause some serious diseases. And so when you identify and remove the foods that are causing inflammation for your body, and I'm not talking about the occasional pizza or beer, right? You're not having that saying, hey, I expect to feel totally healthy. When you're eating these healthy foods like the salmon and the Greek yogurt and the strawberries, and they're causing inflammation, your body diverts energy from what it wants to do. And, Beattie, what your body always wants to do is heat.
So let me ask you this. Are you saying then that oatmeal and salmon and Greek yogurt are foods that are problematic and that they are, in fact, not healthy and not helpful when it comes to maintaining good health?
Absolutely. In fact, the foods that I listed are 85% inflammatory, which means that for 85% of the population, it's causing an inflammatory response. Now, you see, as we age, we start to lose digestive enzymes and stomach acid and saliva, really starting at the age of 35. And that's why, you know, that myth that metabolism slows as you age is just that. It's a myth. But what is true are the foods that were healthy for us in our 20s can become less so in our 30s, even more so in our 40s, 50s, and 60s. And this is why we start to pack on the pounds and feel unwell. Now, an inflammatory response can last for 72 hours. So if you're just eating that egg white spinach omelet three times a week, not knowing that it's highly inflammatory for you, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to constantly be in a state of feeling poorly. And conversely, identify, remove that food. Your body goes back to what it always wants to do, which is heal.
But how do we know what foods are inflammatory and what foods are not? Now, is it possible that having an egg white omelet for you is fine and having an egg white omelet for me is problematic?
Absolutely. You know, every person's chemistry is different, just the same way. You look differently than I do. You think differently than I do. Our chemistry is exactly the same. There is no such thing as a healthy food. There's just what's healthy for you.
So wow.
When I first started this, and I opened up a health center in 2007, I started to notice something unusual. When the clients that were coming to me for nutrition were listing the foods that they were eating, some of these foods were causing inflammation. And so what I started to do is I started to track people's bio-individual responses to the foods that they were eating. And that's how I came up with the basis of my reactive food list. So, for instance, in that 85% reactive category, we have salmon, Greek yogurt, turkey, asparagus, cauliflower, strawberries, foods that we are actively putting in our diet thinking we're doing the healthiest thing. 70% would be tomato sauce and green beans. 50% would be quinoa. You know, these are the superfoods that we're trying to add in, and we're wondering why our bodies aren't responding the way they should. So if you're eating healthfully and your health is perfect and your weight is perfect, don't change a thing. But if you're eating healthy most of the time and your body isn't responding, that's why I developed the methodology that I developed, which is to help you test the foods that you eat and see how your body responds.
Question, Lynn. All right. I eat, this is kind of depressing since I'm looking at your book right now and I'm thinking about what I eat every day. I eat oatmeal. I eat salmon. I have Greek yogurt and I feel great. So even though I feel great, am I doing something that, in fact, is self-destructive and destructive to my body?
Well, you know, there are many different data points that we have. So a lot of times as we age, we just kind of go to our doctors and say, you know, I'm putting on weight or my hormones are off or I'm depressed some of the time or I get back pain or joint pain or I'm constipated. You know, those are all signs of inflammation. Of course, it can be much more serious. It could be high cholesterol or type 2 diabetes or, God forbid, cancer. These are all signs of inflammation. And there's part of us, you know, I can't tell you how many people say, oh, I go to my doctor and say, you know, I have hot flashes and I have anxiety and I can't sleep through the night. I'm constipated. And they say, well, that's just part of getting old. Suck it up. Mm-hmm. It happens to all of us. That's not true. That's not true. These are all things that you can reverse from the minor aches and pains to the big aches and pains if you identify and remove the foods that aren't working for your unique body.
So when a client will come in to see you, how do you go about, they may list all the foods that they're consuming on a daily basis, how do you go about identifying their hidden trigger foods that are causing the weight gain and the inflammation? What's
well,
the
when my first work came out and people started to find out about me, I did have them list all of the foods that they were eating, and I created a diet unique for them based on what they were eating. But word kind of started to spread, and I don't know if you remember a wonderful magazine called More Magazine.
Yes.
So Leslie Jane Seymour was editor-in-chief of More Magazine, did the plan, and decided to write a piece about me. And as soon as it came out and I said, oatmeal is the devil, I woke up the next day to 800 emails in my inbox. And the next day, 800. And the next day, 800. And everybody said, thank God you said that. I eat oatmeal all the time. I always feel awful eating it. My doctor says I should eat it to lower cholesterol. Now, if oatmeal is inflammatory for you and you have high cholesterol, it's actually going to make your cholesterol worse because that's what inflammatory foods do. They weaken whatever is latent in your health history. So after that article came out, I was lucky enough to have people say, you need to write a book. And I said, okay, I'm going to write a book. And, Beatty, you know how hard that is, right? So I developed So I developed a standardized testing protocol that everyone can use to determine whether the foods that they're eating work for them or not. And we start off that first week of lowering inflammation. You are eating the least inflammatory foods from all over the world based on my research. This is what I call the honeymoon period. Yeah, most people are losing 7 to 10 pounds, even eating over 2,000 calories a day, every single day, until they introduce that one food that doesn't work for their body. But as we lower inflammation, something exciting happens. Blood pressure meds are cut. Thyroid meds can be cut. Antidepressants may be able to be cut. I work a lot with type 1 and type 2 diabetics. We can cut insulin by as much as 50% in 1 week because we're also balancing blood sugar. See, that's the magic of this. It's not about weight loss. It's about allowing your body to do what it always wants to do, which is heal and repair.
So what should we be eating?
there's no such thing as sugar. There's no such thing as a healthy food.
And they're thinking, what is, in quotes, a healthy daily diet? What are the foods?
There's just what works for you. People would love to say, Lynn, tell me what to eat.
Right.
People tell me all the time, what should I eat? My answer is, I don't know. Let's find out what you need to eat. That's why standardized diets don't work. There's no such thing as a healthy food. There are just the foods that work for your chemistry.
Well, for example, we hear about the importance of fruits and vegetables. And are you saying that there are, and I think I've heard you say this, there are fruits and vegetables that are, in fact, inflammatory and that
Absolutely.
Are causing us more problems than we could ever dream?
Right. I mean, when we talk about, when I see all these people going for the cauliflower pizza and giving up the potatoes, it breaks my heart because cauliflower is 85% inflammatory and potatoes are about 5% inflammatory. So so often we're trying the diet du jour, not knowing that we might be making unhealthy choices for ourselves. I'm sure you know, because you're a researcher too, that a lot of times when we're reading information, it may not really work for us. For instance, I was just reading this wonderful article a couple of weeks ago about this dietary protocol, and it said, you need to do this. Now, this study was based on Finnish men in their 20s. How in the world is that going to extrapolate to a woman in America in her mid-50s? Right? It doesn't. When you're reading the information about how you need to eat salmon, that was based on Inuit people. They have a very limited food supply. If they didn't learn how to convert the nutrients of salmon into something that was bioavailable for them, they would have died off, right? But we're not Inuit, or at least I'm not, and I know you're not. So those same health benefits that work for people in Alaska may not work for us. And very often, it doesn't. And so many health-conscious people are there reading this information, knowing that it may not apply to them. But even if it is something that's based, say, in America, let's say in New York City, when a researcher says that something's effective, if it works for 70% of the population, they're going to say, you need to do this. This is highly effective. Well, what if you fall in the 30% it doesn't work for, right?
Right, right.
So if you're following this advice and it's causing inflammation, and now you know that inflammation can last for 72 hours, you're constantly operating with less reserves. You're constantly operating at a deficit. I don't really care how people eat. I say this all the time. You can be vegan, you can be paleo, you can eat however you want to eat. I don't espouse any specific diet. But I can say that in every diet that exists, there are going to be foods that cause inflammation.
So when somebody comes to work with you, and assuming they write down everything that they consume on a daily basis, how do you go about helping the person to eliminate and figure out what the foods are that are causing the inflammation, that are causing the depression, that are causing and contributing to high blood pressure and a variety of other problems? What does the process look like when it comes to helping people eliminate foods that they think would, normally and necessarily would be very, very healthy and good for them?
That's a great question. You know, because I don't espouse any kind of diet, I just want to help people identify the foods that they are eating that aren't working for them. What we want to do is we want to test, based on the daily diet that I have, it's a standardized diet that you follow, and you test the least inflammatory foods so your body can heal rapidly, and if you need to lose weight, you'll lose a lot of weight. And then you start to test the higher inflammatory stuff. So let's use beef and turkey as an example. Let's say you love burgers. And so in the beginning, we're going to test a beef burger because that's super low inflammatory. And then a few days later, we test a turkey burger, and you gain 2 pounds, which is typically how much weight I will see from a turkey burger. I'm going to tell you, don't have this turkey.
Lynn, so you're saying that a beef burger, and of course, so many people espouse to the philosophy that we should never have any beef under any circumstances, and that if you're going to have something in the, you know, category of meat, that it be turkey. So you're saying that with your research and findings that beef is better for you because it is much lower in inflammation than turkey. I mean, this is amazing for most people to be hearing this.
And I have to tell you, I was shocked to see it. Every day when I first started developing this protocol, I was shocked at what I was seeing. I was shocked when I would see people gain 2 pounds from salmon or black beans or quinoa.
Wow.
But this is what I was seeing. I couldn't argue with people's obvious reactions. So when we hear that it's a calorie in, calorie out, that's completely untrue. What winds up happening is when you eat a food that doesn't work for your body produces histamine. And that histamine causes short-term water weight gain, will skew your hormones, will raise cortisol, and eventually affect your immune system. So we can literally measure how much histamine your body produces when it eats a food that doesn't work for your body. So if you gain 2 pounds from turkey burgers, that means that your body's producing a lot of extra histamine, and that's a very highly toxic food for you. Now, let's say you only gain 0.2 from the turkey burger. That means the turkey burger's not the best for you. It's not the worst for you. Maybe have it every now and then, but don't include it as a regular part of your diet. So really the simplest thing about the plan is that you just need to read the book, buy a scale, and eat the foods that you normally eat. Now, if you determine that a beef burger works better for you than a turkey burger, you're still having a burger, you see, and then that makes it feel like it's not a diet. Strawberries are super high inflammatory. Blueberries are super low inflammatory.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
And blueberries are low or blueberries
low
are
low inflammatory,
high?
Right. So you can still have a berry, just pick the berry that works for your chemistry.
I mean, this is something that I think for most people is going to be really shocking, because we are told over and over and over again by, you know, so-called experts around the world, we're told exactly the opposite, right?
Absolutely. So rather than listen to the quote-unquote experts, what I want you to do instead is use the tools that I have will give you in my book, so you can determine better than any nutritionist, better than any blood work, what works for your chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Now, do people have to work with you or with somebody who is a qualified nutritionist in your wonderful, you know, system to be able to figure all of this out? Or, I mean, I read your book. I loved the book. Or can we basically do this on our own? Because it sounds pretty complicated.
Well, it's an investment. I always say you can spend 30 days figuring out your chemistry or the next 30 years dieting and wondering why your health isn't getting better. We're thinking about why that number's on the scale anyway. Right? We're wondering why we may not feel well many days. Why not just find out the answers? Now, have millions of people been able to do this on their own? Absolutely. The book's been published in 15 languages all over the world, and people have written to me from all over the world thanking me for how this book has changed their lives and the lives of their family. Do some people need extra guidance? Yes, I'd say about 8% of the population does, and those are people that usually have some more health issues, which means that they have higher levels of inflammation. So we work a lot with thyroid dysfunction. We work a lot with autoimmune disease. We work a lot with chronic pain. We work a lot with depression. Hormonal imbalance is another big one. So those are the main folks that come to us for a little extra help. Might be 20 days, it might be 30 days. When we're dealing with things like cancer, we're probably going to spend a little more time with them. But I always encourage people, yes, try it on your own, especially for you New Yorkers. I have a restaurant here, so you can just pick up the food. All you have to do is eat to feel better.
Now, I'm looking at the book right now, and it says, The Plan for Day One. Upon awakening, weigh yourself and record the results in your plan journal. Now, so do you recommend weighing yourself every single morning? I mean, I certainly do. And sometimes I wonder why the weight, despite the fact that now that I'm really, you know, thinking about the foods that I'm consuming, why the weight, despite the fact that it appears that I'm eating not all that much, may be going up. And this, of course, what you're saying, this kind of explains things. So do you recommend weighing yourself every day?
Absolutely. And you just brought up the biggest point. I'd love to answer why. People come to me all the time and say, why? Uh-huh. Your scale gives you the data of why. That number on the scale is just data. And it's super, super interesting how just changing a couple of variables can make that number on the scale something you'd like to see a little bit more. But certainly there's nothing more frustrating than when you say, that's it. I'm going to eat clean today, and I can't wait to step on the scale tomorrow. And you do, and you're like, how the heck is that number there? How did I gain?
Exactly what happened to me this morning. Exactly.
Yeah, it's like I didn't eat an extra 7,000 calories. How can I gain 2 pounds?
Right.
You ate something yesterday that was inflammatory for you.
Uh-huh.
Now, we know it's more than just weight, because when something causes inflammation, now it can start to affect your health. That's what we want to identify and remove it.
Uh-huh. Now, you also suggest drinking, upon awakening, drinking 16 ounces of fresh water with lemon juice after you weigh yourself. Now, why do that?
Well, first of all, for a lot of people, constipation is an issue, and a lot of us are dehydrated. So drinking that water first thing in the morning will help with constipation. Now, your body is, really the plan is all about allowing the body to do what it wants to do, which is heal. And whenever we're nice to our body, it's nice back to us. So your liver, which is responsible for over 500 functions, including your metabolism and your hormones, to name just a few, repairs naturally at night. And just having that water and lemon juice in the morning is just a gentle nudge to keep that liver healing just a little bit longer. And remember, whenever we allow our organs to do what they do naturally, we're going to have better health. We're also going to have better weight. Because, you know, your body loses the most weight when it's healing. Right? And that's how you can weigh yourself at night and weigh yourself in the morning and you've lost 3 pounds. Right? That's because it's healing. So allowing that healing process puts us at our best weight and our best health.
Now, why the lemon juice, Lynn?
Oh, because lemon juice is a natural liver and gallbladder detoxifier. Everything that's in the plan are really healthy foods that have the optimal amount of nutrients to support thyroid health, your hormones, and your liver, as well as, of course, your gut. And remember, 90% of your immune system is in your gut, as well as 90% of serotonin, your feel-good hormone, is in your gut, too. So whenever we're kind to our body, it just repays us back so much.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also suggest, upon awakening, taking a liver support supplement. And I thought I knew a little bit about nutrition. I mean, what is a liver support supplement? And then you suggest and/or having a cup of dandelion tea. Now, what is the liver support system and why dandelion tea?
Well, dandelion is a natural support, as is milk thistle, for liver health. But things have actually changed a little bit since I wrote the plan and I wrote my newest book, The Metabolism Plan. I like people to put in as little effort as possible and get paid back as much as possible. So, and I also don't want people spending a lot of money on supplements, because I think supplements are great short term, but you shouldn't take them every day. So after I wrote the plan.
Interesting.
After I wrote the plan, I mentioned one supplement called MSM. And MSM was something at that point I was just using for people with seasonal allergies and chronic sinusitis. What I found since writing that is that MSM is not only a mild liver detoxifier, it not only lowers histamine so that you don't have seasonal allergies or sinusitis, but it would also help with acid reflux, it helped with asthma, and it helped to put autoimmune diseases in remission. And because we're in one long mucosal chain from our sinuses down to our colon, MSM helps to sort of repair whatever's broken in that mucosal chain. It's also the building block of collagen, which, as you know, we can lose when we age. So rather than taking a bunch of supplements, now I put everybody on MSM for 6 weeks. We're repairing knees, we're repairing gut function, we're repairing lung function, which is so important nowadays, and you get a liver detoxifier.
My, oh my, I mean, Lynn, we certainly need a lot of education. You know, as I'm sitting here, or actually lying here on my sofa in my office in New York City, since, you know, we're not at the at the studio, you know, I was wondering, and I was wondering what my producer, Jesse, would think about this. It would be a fascinating show to have you and Dr. Gary Null discuss this. After all, you know, he's a world-renowned alternative health expert, as are you, because I'm hearing things from you that I've never heard before, and I'm so interested, you know, in hearing what kind of a conversation the two of you could have, coming from similar and perhaps coming from different perspectives, and it would be fascinating. As I say, I'm hearing things from you that I've never heard before, and I'm interested, and I know that the listeners are probably, you know, sitting in their offices or in their homes and thinking, my, we think we're doing the right thing, and it sounds like we're doing exactly the opposite. I mean, would you, if this could be arranged, would you be interested in having this kind of a discussion with Dr. Gary Null?
Well, that would be an absolute honor. Of course, I'm a huge, huge fan of his work, so I would absolutely love that.
Yeah, and just to hear the, you know, the similarities and the different perspectives.
You know, I think what makes my work so unique is that, and there's really only one place in the world that I know of, I'm sure there are others, but there's an institute in Israel called the Weizmann Institute, and the work that they do is very similar to the work that I do, which is we monitor people's varying data points every single day. And if you are working with somebody every single day, you're going to be able to hear things like, you know what, I was really irritable after I had dinner last night, or I had a 3 o'clock energy dip, or, you know, yesterday I was constipated and I'm not normally constipated, or I'm having these mood swings. You're not going to remember that if you just see somebody once a month, right? But if you're there every single day measuring how they feel, what their body fat's like, what their blood pressure's like, what their blood sugar's like, what their weight is like, what their mood is like, all of these things we can start to identify on a bio-individual basis what is not working for that person. And it's really only because I work with people every single day gathering their data, and it's a collaboration between us, that I'm able to get the results that I get. But it's also why my data points and the information that I'm presenting is different, because most people see a nutritionist maybe a few times a year. And that's just not enough to really fix what isn't working for you.
So that if somebody were to contact you, and let's assume their presenting problem may be depression and weight gain, the first place you would then look at would be what it is that they're eating, and then start to monitor all of the foods and see what foods are high in inflammation, and then go through the process of trying to get them to figure out what foods they should be eating that would be low in inflammation, and then they should start to see some positive results within a relatively short period of time. Would that be the process?
Well, you just opened up a whole kettle of fish there, sister. You know, what's my? I'm working on a new book called Tame the Flame. It's depression and inflammation, because, of course, there's exciting research that's out there now about how depression is a byproduct of inflammation, if not directly caused by inflammation. Why is that? Well, all those things that we're measuring on the plan can directly contribute to mood. When you eat an inflammatory food, it raises cortisol, your stress hormone, which means you're more stressed out. What does that mean? When you have heightened levels of cortisol, it's going to skew your hormones. What happens when we're more hormonal? We tend to be more depressed. When you have these fluctuating hormones, it tends to attack thyroid function. The thyroid is one of the master glands for your mood as well as your metabolism. And of course, if we don't identify and remove these inflammatory foods and these stressors, it will start to affect gut function, where once again, the majority of our feel-good hormones are produced. So yes, this can be incredibly effective for reducing depression, helping people identify the stressors. Of course, therapy is hugely important, and antidepressants, if needed, are wonderful. But for many people, it's not enough. And I have to tell you, my head nutritionist, Sarah, was on 5 antidepressants and was told she would need to be on them for the rest of her life. And she's been on them for 7 years. So that's one of the many success stories. I remember this one woman who said, and this is amazing, she was also told she would need to be on antidepressants for the rest of her life. She was a vegetarian, and she found out that it was oatmeal and almonds that were triggering her depression.
Oh, wow. Well, of course, as we know, psychiatric drugs are just so overly prescribed in this country. And I don't know anybody that I have ever treated who's been to a psychiatrist where the psychiatrist has ever asked about diet and about the foods that this person is consuming. So, you know, we continue to miss the boat on so many different levels.
Or, BD, if they are trying, they're telling them to eat salmon. Salmon will help relieve depression.
That my husband, Jim, is listening to this show, and I guess that'll be the end of the wild salmon that we consume on a weekly basis. We have a lot of salmon. In order to get a baseline, Lynn, and I was just thinking about this, would you recommend that people fast for a few days or a week, and then start to add foods, and then start to see how their body is reacting and how their mood is, you know, as they add different foods,
That's a great question, but the short answer is no. Because if you don't have a foundation of foods, you're not going to know what's triggering the response, right? And so that's why in the beginning, those first 3 days, that wonderful cleanse, a food-based cleanse, where as a woman you're eating over 2,000 calories a day and a man over 2,800 calories a day, we're establishing the foods that you can start building a very strong foundation from. And then what we do from there is we introduce a new food, and you get to choose that food every other day. But by the time you get to start testing foods, you already have about 20 foods that you know work. So it's so much easier to identify the one new food that you introduce that doesn't work.
So you don't recommend fasting, is that right? Because some people certainly
I'm not a big fan of fasting. First of all, if you are in a higher state of inflammation, you can really overwhelm your body with all of these toxins, and that's not nice. You know, it's not nice to your kidneys. It's not nice to your liver. You don't need to dump all this stuff on them. But once again, it's really not going to help you. And in a lot of people, consistent fasting can actually slow your metabolism, which will raise cortisol, right? Whenever we stress out our body, we're raising cortisol. We're enacting a negative response. So having a foundation of foods that you know work for you will allow you to better ascertain what isn't working for you.